live from the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar inside Treasure Island. It's Cofield and Company.
It's Friday, gotta get down on Friday. Everybody's looking forward to the weekend. Partying.
Yeah, right. Friday. Cofield and Company. James is down here. Adam Hill's on the scene. Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar.
This song actually came up in a discussion in the Raiders media room today.
What don't you guys talk about in that media room?
There was a
best opening to a particular show on sports radio in the country?
No, it was somebody's ringtone is Gangnam Style.
That's a good one, too.
It's not. It's terrible. It's an awful song.
I love that song.
And then somebody else.
I think he has multiple good songs.
Somebody else said they prefer as a gimmick song Macarena.
Okay.
And I said, look, it's not good, but Friday is better than both of them, and it's terrible. And then many of them had said they'd never heard Friday before. So it was fitting, though. It was Friday, so I played it a lot.
Oh, you did?
I did. Like over and over again.
And they didn't like it?
No.
So you just busted chops by playing it over and over again. That's very Adam Hillish.
Yes. I was like, it has 50 million views on YouTube. How could you not have heard it?
Do they know David the Dentist?
Probably, but I would imagine it'd be one of those things where, like, I never heard that before. And then you show them, like, oh, yeah, that.
I would ask to play the screen, but I think that was another thing that got blown out of the system. So
probably.
Sad. We didn't really have an eye on quality. It was just, we're full purge.
Sure.
I still have it all somewhere.
Reload it. Griffin would enjoy it.
We can work on it. Yes, just a random scream. We have a lot of screams over the years. You're going to hear one later on, actually.
Okay.
Getting someone yelling at a fan base.
Looking forward to that.
Yes, so am I. I don't know if I yelled last night, but I was really excited on air as I was kind of following, and Greg had full view of the screen over at Cabana 7 at Circa at Stadium Swim, and as Otani was performing, the game was unfolding. We were getting pretty jacked up.
I mean,
who would not be excited for what, I guess, unless you're like a hardcore Marlins fans. But really, even the people in the stadium, and I would guess it was 10% Marlins fans and 90% Dodger fans, like, they were going ballistic. They knew what they were watching.
Oh, yeah, of course. I mean, it was – I refer to it as one of the greatest performances in sports history. And, I mean, I think the season and the game.
It was thrown my way. Is it as big as the flu game?
Oh, my God.
Wilt's 100th. And there was something else in, like, a really big spot. And this is actually on the Charlotte station. They have a really good afternoon drive show with Kyle Bailey. And, God, I forget the third event was sort of the same thing. Like, you know, key spot. And I was like, well, I mean, the Wilt game actually wasn't a key spot. I think it was middle of the regular season. But, like, for what it was as an individual game, 17 total bases, it was crazy. And the excitement level... Listen to Joe Davis, who's on Dodgers TV here. I mean, he was just, like, he totally captured the moment that this is something really cool. We haven't seen this before, and we can be joyful about sports.
Oh, my gosh! Shohei Ohtani! The greatest day in baseball history! This is not real life. He is not human.
That's pretty good. And he almost went full Dave Gocher. Dave, the play-by-play voice on TV for VGK, is what I would call an operatic sports announcer. Like, Joe Davis almost started to sing. Gocher definitely does it. Like, they get to that level with the deep voice, and they're just like, no, Shohei Ohtani!
Good impression.
Not bad. I could go deeper, but... I don't want to hurt people out there.
Yeah.
I don't want to blow out your speakers on your radio.
To.
Got a lot of bass. But, yeah, that was a great call. We'll have more of the calls. And, you know, good for baseball because I still don't – I think we're going through the – to a much, I'll say, worse extent. We're sort of going through what baseball – it reminds me of what baseball has done with Mike Trout. I think they've done a better job with Ohtani, but I still don't think Ohtani gets the – attention he deserves. We brought up a great example yesterday. There's absolutely no metric, like regular football metric, that would have Eli Manning going into the Hall of Fame as an automatic. But why is he going in as an automatic?
Super Bowls.
Right?
I think that's the metric.
I think it's location.
Sure.
He was 117 and 117 in the regular season.
Yeah.
I'll also paint this picture. Tom Coughlin, 1,000% is a Hall of Fame coach. He won with Eli Manning. This is akin to, hey, Joe Gibbs won with Joe Theismann and Rippon and Doug Williams. Sure. Eli Manning was a good quarterback. He was probably no better at any time during his era, the sixth or seventh best quarterback. And some years he was like the 20th best in a given year. But my point is, even L.A. still gets shortchanged. L.A. proper, not the L.A. Angels of Anaheim.
Sure.
L.A. proper still gets shortchanged. If Ohtani was on the Red Sox, the Mets, or the Yankees, holy crap. Which, by the way, can I get on this soapbox? Why is he not on the Yankees? You guys told me for the last 25 years that they could buy anyone they want. They're the evil umpire.
Well, the old man died.
Yep. And ownership from father to son, things change.
Sure.
You're not always guaranteed that the next person is better. I will argue that Carl Pohlad dying was the greatest thing ever for Twins fans because his kids actually care a little bit. Sure. Like, they field a good team for, you know, 18 straight years.
Yeah, the Yankees could still do that. They just choose not to. They prioritize profit.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which, whatever. So Ohtani, I don't want to use this weaponize Ohtani for an attack on the Yankees, but this is one of the greatest things we've ever seen in a game, and there really is no argument for best player of all time. I didn't click on it because I don't care that much, but I saw Colin Cowherd came on today over on our sister station, Fox Sports Las Vegas, and was apologizing because he had been touting Babe Ruth in the past. I got it wrong. Yes.
Yeah, it's Ohtani.
This shuts it down.
Yeah. Ohtani is the best player of all time.
It's incredible.
Yeah. It's not like I think most debates like that are not fun because I think it's the best player now is the best player of all time. That's just how it is.
Yeah. Evolution.
But I mean, in this
baseball
case,
baseball can be, I guess you can compare a little more easily, but the problem is there are eras in the past that eliminated most of the world from playing.
Sure. Yeah. And I do believe pitching is better now, and it's more specialized, yes, and all those things. So
yep.
And scouting reports are better.
But here's the thing. Not everyone can be part of the joy. They have to try to crap on the parade. I saw someone mention, boy, Vidal Brujan's a hell of a pitcher. And I almost...
I did that in a group text.
Ready? Let me do the punch down motion. Griffin knows it. You don't. Let me punch down. I almost responded by saying, my guess is that Vidal Brujan would be in the 90-something percentile of best pitchers in 1927. He doesn't pitch.
No.
I don't know if he has a pitching background.
Second baseman.
Yes. They were throwing puffs back in the day. And now puffs can work. You know, changing speeds can work. But to your point, the specialization is insane. Once you get to the sixth inning and the starter is, you know, tired, he's got 88 pitches, all of a sudden it's five straight or four straight pitchers of freaking left and right, and everyone's 95-plus.
We're witnessing the best season in history of closers this year by one closer. Best season
Which,
ever.
I'm not going to argue with you on that. Yeah. I think Eckersley, whatever year it was it 88? Well, that was one of the most impressive years. There's been great years, but in this era, especially on their side because hitters are more advanced than they've been forever, your Indian, check that, Guardians closer is awesome.
It's tremendous.
Yep.
And still not going to win the Cy Young, which is just a travesty.
So I love what's happening. Again, this is one of those pat yourself on the back moments. And not saying it was the only one who didn't say it or said it. But when they signed him for $700 million, I'm like, bargain. He's not going to pitch. Who cares? He's going to go 40, 125, and 20 steals. Boy, was I wrong.
Yeah. Way undershot him.
Right.
I mean, yeah. By the way,
the money was deferred is maybe the best contract that's ever been offered.
$2 million. He's making $2 million.
Yes,
right. Now I think that they may hold off on ever pitching him, but he can still pitch next year.
I don't know that he needs to, and I keep suggesting that he could be a specialty guy. And you know, if the Dodgers build a bullpen like they have now, where they've got four guys who can close, maybe he's the fourth option to be the closer. once a week.
Yeah.
You throw him 30 times. But why at this point? No, unless you, like, desperately need him, why? Build your team with enough pitching, and that's easy to say because the Dodgers keep losing everyone. But I don't think I'd risk it.
No. I mean, he's far too valuable now. He's clearly the best player in the major leagues. He's the best player of all time. He's unbelievable. I heard somebody today that was debating me saying Barry Bonds is still the best. Look, I love Barry Bonds, but he's not. And it's not a steroid thing. It's just he wasn't this good.
I'd have no problem predicting next year. By the way, should he play the field? First base?
You can, a couple days a week.
Sure. Are you wasting his wheels by playing him at first base?
Dude, you just want him on the field. I mean, what you're doing is opening up positions for somebody else. Like, oh, we don't have to find a first baseman, we've got him.
Right.
Like, that's what you're doing. But, yeah, you can do with him whatever you want. He can even pitch, but I just wouldn't risk that. I'm sure he wants to play the field. He's talked about wanting to play the field. He wants to play the field on days he's not pitching, which is crazy. Put him anywhere. I'm sure he could be the best catcher in the league.
If I knew how much he was going to run next year, I'd have no issue in predicting a 50-80 season.
60-60.
I mean, do you look at the stolen base numbers with some other players? Like, I think Bobby Witt's been thrown out like 15 times.
Yeah.
I think Ohtani's like, I think he's 51 of 54.
Yeah.
Not only does he steal the bases, he never gets caught. How is that possible? They know he's running, and they know he's going for a record.
He's good.
Catching's worse than it's ever been. Okay.
He's good.
We'll check in with an L.A. guy. I'm sure he was watching Ohtani, or at least paying attention to it the last couple weeks and what happened last night. Clearly, it's a football Friday. Lots of NFL to get to. 5 o'clock hour, we'll have all our leans, likes, and we'll have Adam critique our official Cofield and company pick. Check that. Picks around the NFL for a contest this weekend. Lots coming along here at Treasure Island, Golden Circle, Sportsbook and Bar on a Friday.
Former NFL cornerback and Next Level Chef contestant, Mark McMillan, joins Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
Is this what Mahomes would have looked like if Alex Smith wasn't in Kansas City that year and they threw him in there? His footwork's not where it needs to be. He's trying to be a system quarterback and work within the pocket, which he's going to have to do to succeed. The Belichick clip that I told you about 2 weeks ago or last week is going to keep re-airing. Like, he's just not act. I don't know why everyone's so excited.
Yeah, you drafted Mac Jones.
Todd McShay addressing the benching of Bryce Young. Brian Russillo with a cheap shot there at Belichick. Possibly valid. Belichick very cocky in a clip seen earlier this week about basically suggesting that he knew. He knew. Let's bring in the chef, Mark McMillan. Lot to get to. Chef Mark, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing good, man. Just out here at Durango High School watching 10 of the nation's best high school women's volleyball teams in America.
Hello. What brought you out there aside from what you just described? Any personal ties to participants?
My buddy, I grew up with, his daughter plays at Sierra Canyon High School in California. She's going to UC San Diego on a college scholarship. And I ran into my guy, Willie McGinnis, the Super Bowl champion from the Patriots. His daughter plays on the team as well. So there are some very talented young ladies out here. There's a ton of NBA dads out here. I didn't know there were so many NBA dads, daughters, that play volleyball.
Well, I mean, it's natural to think that they might be kind of tall, might be kind of explosive in jumping ability. What were you going to say, Adam?
How was your volleyball game growing up, Mark? I feel like there wasn't a whole lot of volleyball being played.
No, there was no volleyball in the hood, man. You know, we didn't even have a volleyball, you know, so we didn't have a football. We used a sock, so I didn't have no volleyball skills growing up. But I think I could have been a really good volleyball player because I was quick and athletic.
Believe it.
I don't think he would have been at the net.
Mark could jump. You're right. He's not your traditional freaking, what is it called, a striker, whatever the hell the outside people are.
I could do that. There's a girl here. University of Pitt is the number one team in the nation in volleyball, and I'm watching a young lady. She goes to Bishop Gorman, and she's their top recruit. This young lady is jumping out of the gym right now.
Wow. So let's talk about special-level athletes. I'm sure you saw what Shohei Ohtani did last night. As good as anyone in an individual game in the history of baseball. No one's done 50-50. He's one of those guys, you're watching him, and there's about two or three of these guys in Major League Baseball where you're like, they're just better and a lot better than the average player, and even like the second level. I'm going to ask you, when you played football, did you ever look at someone and watch them play or play against them, and you're like, my Lord, they're just in a different stratosphere? I would guess it might have been one of your teammates.
Randall was that guy, obviously, on our team. But I'm gonna put Deion up there, too, man. Deion Sanders was a guy that you just looked at me like, man, this dude is just he's just a different level. You know, he goes from playing cornerback to playing wideout. And I actually had the guy guard him one time when he was with the Cowboys when he played wideout. And he ran one of the quickest out routes that I've ever seen in my life. Thank goodness he got hurt and he didn't come back in the game. But, man, he was going to give me a run for my money that week. But what Shohei is doing with the Dodgers, and I'm a huge Dodger fan. You know, we were excited about Mookie Betts, but, man, Shohei just comes over from the Angels, and he just it is incredible what he is doing. Like you said, there's some generation of athletes that you just look at them, and you're just in awe of it. And like I said, Randall was one of those guys as far as the quarterback position that just obviously changed the game. You know, you look at Michael Vick when he came along, some of the stuff that he was doing, but this dude is in the – and he's not even pitching yet. Just imagine when he puts the ball in his hand. I'm like, he doesn't even need the pitch.
Chef Mark is with us. Mark McMillan, former cornerback in the National Football League, and as you heard, now a top-level internet chef. That sounds like a dig, but it's not. There are superstars all over the internet, made the TV appearance in Next Level Chef. We're going to get to some food talk in just a little bit, but let's hit a couple of points on UNLV and just how significant it is, and it kind of shows the history of the program, that this was the first time they've ever appeared in a top 25 poll. In this case, it's the coaches' poll. This is a hell of an opening to the season.
I think I texted you. I was texting you during the game when they were playing Kansas. I was like, man, these guys are playing good. Just going back from the Houston game and obviously just watching these guys in practice during the summer when it's 115 degrees. People wasn't really rallying behind this team, but just seeing the way they work, know what kind of coach they have in Coach Odom, preparing these guys mentally, physically. You bring in the transfer portal guys who played high-level football before, and you just bring it together, and it's like a perfect marriage, man. It's like a perfect recipe from Gordon Ramsay, man. These guys are playing tough. They're playing four quarters. I don't think they really hit their stride yet on offense. Once they hit their stride on offense, I think this team can really be special this year.
As a player, do you think it's a good time for them to have a week off, or do you think they just want to jump back out there and play as quickly as they could again?
You want to get back out there, especially after a big win on the road. You want to get back out there. Obviously, you need the rest because, you know, sooner you're going to need it sooner or later. But I think they could have benefited from just playing that this week. If they would have played Fresno State, I think it would have been a really good matchup. Coming off a big-time win, you're excited. You had a bye week. Now you're just relaxing, looking at everybody else play. You don't really have that intensity. But hopefully, it fails well for those guys. But it gives them another opportunity to scout Fresno and get some guys healthy. But nobody's been really banged up. So this is a really good sign for UNLV football.
So I want to talk about the quarterback, Matt Sluka. And I'll admit, the other day I went on Fox 5 in Silver City, whatever the hell it's called, Silver Sports and Entertainment, and we were talking about Sluka and his running ability, and I threw it out there and said, Mark, that he is the best runner, quarterback runner, in the history of UNLV football. I can't even say it again. Randall, I then followed it up by saying, I actually believe Randall is the greatest running quarterback in football history, and that includes the NFL. But Sluka, he is slippery Sluka, man. When he gets downhill, he's got some speed, but, man, he's hard to tackle.
He is very hard to tackle, and that's one of his key points. You know, that's one of his strong points, being able to get outside the edge, run between the tackles. He's a tough guy. I hope he starts to learn how to slide a little bit because they're really going to need this guy, you know, going down the stretch because he takes a lot of unnecessary hits. But as far as his run ability, like I said, you would think these guys would have him bottled up, but he just needs to slip away and get that extra yard. Like I said, once he homes in and starts hitting these receivers and using their tight ends, I think his offense can really, really take off. But he's a really tough quarterback, man. I like quarterbacks like that that's got that dog in.
All right, let's go to the NFL and talk quarterbacks. And we'll break down the Panthers and Raiders in a couple of minutes. But first off, what do you think about how Bryce Young has played, how he's being treated? Is this unfair? And, you know, he's one of your fellow Bama guys.
It's the NFL, man. It's just the way the business goes. You know, it doesn't always work out for these guys. I know we get all excited. He won the Heisman in Alabama. He looked really good. He was clearly one of the best quarterbacks in college that year. Then you go to the Panthers, who's a organization that's in shambles already. It was in shambles before he even got there. So, you know, you switch coordinators, new ownership. You don't give him an O-line to, you know, to help him out with. But at the end of the day, man, you just got to find ways to, you know, use his athletic ability. But, you know, you see when he's dropping back, he's running for his life. So he really didn't have a fair chance at that. But this is the NFL, man, and I think he'll be better off if he gets traded to another team and gets a fresh start. I'm sure Andy Dalton is probably like, man, I don't want to play. And then you got to face the Raiders, whose defense is actually really, really good this year. So it's going to be pretty exciting. But I feel for Bryce, man. He's a really good kid, very humble kid. A lot of it has been placed on his shoulders. Even Christian McCaffrey got out of Carolina, so that should be telling you something.
You said he'll be better off somewhere else. I mean, is it over in Carolina? Can they bring him back? Is it salvageable there?
You know how fragile these quarterbacks are, man. When you get, you know, they wanted to bench him last year. And actually, he wasn't really there. Well, the coaches are gone, but he wasn't the favorite. You know, obviously, you know, you got the Texans who got the steal of the draft, you know, from Ohio State. But as a quarterback, man, these guys are real fragile. And I think the relationship is really burned. He's a really good kid. I don't know as far as his mental, how well he'll be able to come back from something like this. Because if you bench a quarterback this early, man, and if Andy starts playing bad, what do? Send him back out there with the same offensive line, the same receivers?
Back to, we're on the topic. One more thing on Bryce Young. I said it early in the week here, and I was actually just on in Charlotte earlier today talking Panthers and the move. I think a lot of this, aside from, hey, let's give the guy a break and let him regroup, a lot of this is it's early in the season, and I would think his teammates are like, this is stupid. Like, this sucks, and it gets demoralizing. Were you ever in a situation on the five different teams you played on, especially when you're a defensive player, and you're like, we got no shot. Can we make a change at freaking quarterback? This is debilitating.
Yeah, I was. Thank goodness I was always blessed with really good quarterbacks that I played with, in Gannon and Randall. Even Jim McMahon, he was really good. Brett Thomas was really good. So I had some Brad Johnson in Washington was really good. So I had some really good quarterbacks that I played with. But if I was in that defensive locker room, if I was one of those teammates and you've been grinding with this guy, you bench me after 2 weeks, you know, that's kind of – the head's got to be turning in the locker room. Like, man, what are we doing? What direction are we going in? We know Andy Dalton is not the future, so – who is the future and what direction are we going in? So I'm sure some guys are really pissed off, man. If I was a defensive guy, I'd be pissed off too and be like, man, get him some damn help so at least you get a kid a chance.
Chef Mark is with us, Cofield & Company here on a Friday. His spot is brought to you by Grilla Grills and also Once Upon a Coconut. You want to tell people the Once Upon a Coconut, what that is?
Yeah, it's coconut water, flavored coconut water that I partnered up with those guys, so I'm excited about that. We're going to start giving away some cans, man. I got to get Adam some. Adam, I'm going to bring you some into the fresh room next week, man. So you ain't got to worry about cooking it. All you got to do is shake it and drink it, man. So it's a really good product. It's all natural. They have different flavors, chocolate, banana, lemon. So it's really good. It's a really good product. And also my Grilla Grills partnership, I'm excited about that. We're going to be doing some events with the USA Today Food and Wine Festival. I got invited back to that, and also I just got contacted by NASCAR, so I'll be grilling out there at the Las Vegas Speedway as well during NASCAR week.
I saw that you brought back the pizza. You got barbecue theme, but are you doing the chicken differently now?
I'm doing a fried chicken.
Hello.
So instead of the grilled chicken, we're doing fried. No one is doing this. It's a barbecue fried chicken pizza with my Sweet Heat barbecue sauce on the side. So with every slice, a dollar goes back to my Lift program for kids that's been harassed and bullied, as well as the Nathan Adelson Hospice Care Center here in the Valley. So get out there, man. Grab yourself a slice. I know there's a lot of people in town. Go out and support a good cause.
All right, it's not like I like to stir the pot, but I feel like I have to here. Rhino, one of our big listeners, Adam, was getting real interested in our chef rankings.
Oh, yeah.
For Cofield & Company. So, Mark, I have you on top of the chef rankings. And a lot of it is what we see on social media. Obviously, I know you can cook. I know you were on a TV show. But a lot of it's based on social media. And the guy Sam, who's on with us on Tuesdays, he got all peeved at you because you got on his beans. That was, I think they had an apple pie mix in it to get some cinnamon in there. And he's been on a rampage ever since. If I retweet just his straight pulled pork from like 10 days ago, I don't know. What are we supposed to tell him? Grade it honestly, or just be nice to bridge the gap, or do we really want to like inflame this thing, Adam?
Well, I mean, I don't want to encourage.
When you tweet something out, you gotta be prepared to what's coming back. And like I said, with being on that show,
I know.
You know, when I almost blew up the kitchen, a lot of people were coming at me, so I had to take it. So whatever you put out there, you gotta have some thick skin.
Well, but we do want honest though. We don't want you to rip him just because you want to rip him. Like if it actually is good, say it's good.
Oh, no, if the picture is good. I think, you know, last year, Steve was posting up some pictures when he was on the road, and I was like, man, that's some good-looking food. So if somebody's going to post something that's legit, man, I'm going to give them all the credit in the world, you know, because I am not a pro. Like I said, I don't, you know, obviously I'm not going to post nothing that's going to be garbage-looking that people be like, man, that looks like something out of a baby diaper. But if his food is legit and it looks tasty and looks moist, man, I'm going to give that man a high five.
I'm going to tweet it your way. Here's the thing. You, like you said, you have to know it's coming. It's funny. I was looking back at old pictures. I probably should just do it as a flashback Friday because I'm cool like that. But I was looking back at 2020 pictures, and I was cooking a lot at home because obviously we were locked up, and I put out some steaks. And I knew back then, I was like, half the crowd is going to rip the crap out of this steak. But I was like, hey, let's have some fun. So I don't know. I think I'm going to start actively tweeting out what you guys cook, and then – we'll see what happens because it's not always going to be nice. It's not
always going to be nice. Even some of my stuff, well, obviously, I'm not going to brag, but I'm not going to put anything that's not going to be representable. Obviously, you know, the show, Next Level Chef, all the chefs still follow me and the network still follows me. So we got to make sure we put out good content when we tweet them or tag them. So I'm not going to put anything out there that's going to be suspect. So you're never going to see me just... Not unless I'm at a ballpark and I'm tweeting out, hey, try this hot dog or a burger at an arena. But for me personally, I'm not. The people from the show will murder me. They were like, this dude was on the show? Like, unfollow his account. Gordon Ramsay probably should be like, yo, dude, come on. Yep. Are you serious?
there's a standard to uphold. Let's close on the Raiders. Minshew to Bowers, Minshew to Adams. It started to take off in the second half last week. Is this going to be game to game that it works, or do you expect this to be the norm?
I expect it to be the norm. Obviously, you know, Bowers, you know, everybody knew what kind of talent he was coming out of college. And then being able to see what he can do against live coverage, against a really good defense. I don't know why they, you know, didn't find him earlier. They did find him earlier than they did find Devontae, which is quite strange. Clearly, man, Devontae is still one of the top receivers in the game. And once they start getting rolling, you know, that offense kind of start taking off. And if they can just run the ball decently to help those guys out, man, I think this team can do a lot of good positive things. But, man, as a fan, man, I really like Bowers, man. I know guys are like, man, get off his balls. But I'm like, man, this kid can really play and he can really, really get after. So I feel sorry for the DBs or linebackers that got to cover this guy because he's very athletic.
That's where I was going, Mark. As a former defensive back, I want to get your take on that because watching film, I watched a lot of Brock Bowers film this week, and some of the routes were pretty ridiculous. The Ravens started with, they were trying to go linebackers on him. They tried to go safeties on him. It just wasn't working because he was too fast. But then they put corners on him, and he was way too physical for them. So who's the proper person? Like, what is the proper position to try to cover him if you have to go one-on-one because you can't double him because you're covering Devontae Adams with two men?
Good luck with that. What was the number, the top pick from Notre Dame? Was it
Kyle
the safety
Hamilton?
From the Ravens?
Yeah, Kyle Hamilton.
Yeah, he just worked him over. And, you know, you know, everybody, like you said, they put on him. He just dominated. So it you got to double him. And then if you double him, then obviously you got Jacoby in there. You got Devontae on the outside, which you would think would help out on the running game because you don't have that safety in the box. So I don't know why they can't run the ball because you're spreading these guys out so much. And if you do have somebody in the box, it's a defensive back. A lineman should be able to maul that defensive back that's coming up from the outside four. So, Bowers, man, he's a special talent. And I'm glad he's with the Raiders and we get the opportunity to see this young man flourish week in and week out.
Mark, great spot. I'll see you soon. Thank you.
All right, appreciate it, fellas.
There he is, Chef Mark. Mark McMillan, former cornerback, much of his career with the Eagles. So I was going to ask him one more, but we're up against it. Just about how the hell did he cover tight ends? Good jumping ability, fast as hell, but you know he's playing at 5'7", 180.
Well, they know a lot of Travis Kelce's and
there
Brock
were great
Bowers
tight ends back in the day. I was actually
they
just
were looked, mostly slow, like a Mark Bavaro.
You know what's funny? I was actually looking up to see if he crossed over with Bavaro. Bavaro wasn't on the Giants when Mark got into the league. He was actually finishing up his career. But, yeah, you know, I'd have to look back. I mean, Kellen Winslow had good speed. I'm trying to think of other guys fit the tight end. The tight ends now are more like fullbacks. And evolution, again, you can have a tight end who's 6'3", 6'4", 6'5", 260 pounds, and some of them can run, you know, in that 4'6 range. Yeah. So now you got a little guy who's fast, and the tight end is just about as fast. We are here at Treasure Island. We do two shows a week here. Saturday there's a show, Throw the Flag, with Danny and Jared. They get you ready for college football game day and with a full football preview. It's a two-hour show, 9 to 11 a.m. on Saturdays. Breakfast is available. The breakfast sandwich, the chicken chilaquiles, some of the stuff that's on the menu. Of course, you can get your lunch and dinner throughout the day as you're watching college football. This is the spot, Friday and Saturday, to hang with ESPN Las Vegas. It's Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar inside TI.
Now back to Cofield and Company, live from the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar inside Treasure Island on ESPN Las Vegas.
So it is go time! Get up! Stop walking around work like a loser!
Rodgers, quick toss to the left side. It's caught by Lazard. Makes a man miss. Lazard's still going! He's in! Touchdown!
See, it works. Our friend Brandon Tierney yelling at Jets fans. Maybe yelling at Rodgers after the beginning of the season. So last week he was pretty solid, but there were some balls that he had trouble delivering. Last night he was much better. The back shoulder stuff, the timing, it's going to take time to get it together with the receivers, but that is such a weapon. The short stuff, the check downs. Jets did a good job. We'll break down the game a little bit more towards the middle of the show. Adam Hill, Steve Cofield, Football Friday. Treasure Island is the spot. Yesterday was a monumental day. There was a lot of big news that came down yesterday for me. And I kind of teased it because nothing was official in terms of the events. If you remember yesterday, listeners, and you better listen for all 3 hours because there's magic for all three. Around 5:51, Griffin was here. Griffin, I started talking about the opportunity to be in an eating contest.
I remember.
Very exciting, but also scary AF, as the kids would say.
Surely it's a challenge you're taking on here, Steve.
There's nothing sure about it. That's the thing. And I had to be very cryptic about it. I just said, there's an eating contest. I can't tell you where it is. There is a high-level competitive eater in it. I can't tell you. Well, I did say what the item was that will be eaten. So UNLV came out with an announcement about 2 hours ago. As it reads, UNLV football fans are in for a treat when the Rebels take on Syracuse at Allegiant Friday, October 4th, 6 o'clock. They're doing the happy hour on the Torch Terrace, which they did last year, and everyone should know about this. Basically, you can come in and pregame high atop Allegiant and hang with. There'll probably be some Syracuse fans. Don't beat them up. But you'll hang out with your fellow Rebel fans. So that's going to go from 4:30 to 5:45. Fans 21+ can buy half-price domestic drafts. That's a big deal. Get that great view of the Las Vegas Strip. Kenny Mayne is going to be on the scene, the former Rebel quarterback who was behind Randall Cunningham. He's a distinguished UNLV alum. You know who else is? One of our favorite athletes in the world and a friend of the show.
Mickey Sudo.
Mickey's going to be there. You can meet, greet. I don't know if she'll have the baby. I was going to say kissing babies, but maybe not.
The baby will be there, I think.
As it says, the excitement continues after happy hour with the inaugural UNLV football pink donut eating contest. If I could say donut, there you go. Donut eating contest in recognition of Breast Cancer Awareness Month. Pink, right? You get it? Mickey Sudo will headline the halftime competition where contestants will go head-to-head in a thrilling race to see who can consume the most donuts. She will.
I'll bet on her.
That's a given. Now, the odds, or we could set a number eventually, because we may talk about this a few times before the game.
Sure.
You know we love eating. I will not mention the organization anymore that runs one area of eating competitions. I'm kind of done with it, although Mickey is part of it. I have been offered a slot.
Oh.
In the contest.
Interesting.
That's the scary part.
When I saw the announcement today, I almost changed my flight. I'll be in Denver.
So
I saw the announcement. I said, oh, man, I should change.
Well, I wasn't, and I'm still not. I'm still bouncing this around if I'm going to be in, or do we really want to rep Cofield and Company in the best way?
Griffin.
And try to find the best eater. I actually do believe that you are the best eater on the show. Salerno kept chuckling yesterday. He's like, oh, it's so easy. It's not like hot dogs and buns. And I'm like, I don't know how long the competition's going to be. My guess is it's going to be one of these really quick ones like they did on the Netflix thing with what, Stoney and Wings, and they did 3 minutes.
Yeah.
I'm like, Craig, she's going to eat like 40 in 3 minutes.
Yeah.
Whatever. She'll, you know, I mean, it's going to be crazy.
Well, I think there's really only one way to figure this out, though. We should have
a
company contest to determine who takes the spot.
I think to do anything that's physical as far as contest with our boss's approval, it has to go to legal. I think they would give us approval to do our own in maybe by March of 2025.
We just have to do it off the
clock. We have to do it off the clock or off the,
away from the
not officially
the
Lotus.
Yeah.
Because you know, obviously, whoever does this, and they're going to have other people in it. I don't know if they're going to have other media people in it, but you'll have to sign a waiver.
I'd also, I might suggest maybe we have to open it up to all of Lotus, because I will say that there are some people that will crush food. We know that if you put it in the break room, it's gone in 30 seconds.
That is a very good point.
If they deliver like 10 pizzas for the show, before we even go in there, they're gone. So somebody's eating them very quickly.
Griffin, why don't we make eligibility for anyone at Lotus if they give our UNLV football tweets 2 retweets in the next 2 weeks?
I like the idea, but I'll just tell you right now, no one in this building can hold a candle to my eating ability.
He raised his hand yesterday. He is a big fella. He is rather fit. I think Griffin probably can do it. So we have some decisions to make here.
How many donuts could you do in 3 minutes?
Whoever my competition is, but one more than what they do.
No.
You're not beating Mickey Sue,
though. You can't.
I'm saying, how many do you think? Could you eat a whole dozen in 3 minutes?
Easy. 12, dozen, easy.
Could you do 2 dozen?
I think around that 20 range is where I'd put myself.
All right. I'll say this. I don't think we need a contest. If Griffin eats 20 in 3 minutes, he's the guy.
I don't know if he can do it. We're going to have to hash this out.
But I just think we do that right now. Not this minute, but, I mean, we'll set it up, give him 20 donuts in 3 minutes on the clock. If he finishes those.
Oh, he just goes by himself against the donuts.
Yeah, I think if we're setting – it's like Olympic standard.
Okay.
If he qualifies, he qualifies. If he does 20 in 3 minutes, nobody's beating it here.
We'll have more on this throughout next week because we'll have to hash this out. Remember, on Monday, we're going to be on the road. We are every Monday at Ellis Island, front yard, for Monday Night Football. There's 2 Monday Night Football games this coming week, 4:30 and 5:15 kickoffs. They've got a $30 all-you-can-drink beer special in the front yard. They've got a all-you-can-eat special as well. Every Monday, we're going to be giving away a 2-top all-you-can-eat, all-you-can-drink tab for Sunday football viewing. So you're talking about each one of those giveaways, a minimum of $150 value. I mean, you can eat a lot more than that. You can drink a lot more than that. And then happy hour is great on Mondays at Ellis Island. They do $7 bites, $7 drinks, 3 to 6. So what does that encompass? A lot of the first game and the early part of the second. That's really cool. It's also Mega Monday, so you get those big fishbowl drinks. You get one. You buy one, you get one. How cool is that? All the information's up at EllisIslandCasino.com. Cofield and Company fired up on Mondays to be over at Ellis Island in the front yard.
Hanging at the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar inside Treasure Island, it's Cofield and Company.
So, Adam, your job duties, you're a columnist, you're one or two on the Raiders. Are you still backing up on the VGK beat? Will you be going to a lot of Golden Knights games?
I'll be around. I was hoping to get out this week, but just been pretty crazy with the Raiders. So
there's a lot to talk about with the Golden Knights in this coming season. So
sure.
Preseason
Nobody
game.
Believes in them.
Is that what they're saying?
Nobody's ever believed in them.
Okay.
Well, always been underdogs.
I mean, I did see that they were 10th on the odds board for the President's, what is it called, trophy or cup, whatever.
Yeah.
I don't think their expectations should not be 10th in the league. As you pointed out, we never really got to see the true results of the trades for some big boys.
Yeah, no Hanifin in particular.
I'm super enthused about Hurdle. The goalie mix is going to be interesting because they made a decision.
I'm still holding out hope for Robin Leonard.
Are you really?
Yeah.
They didn't seem to be very enthusiastic yesterday. He was called unfit to play, which has to do with his long-term injury. McCrimmon basically suggested he won't be here this year.
Yeah.
And the NHL, the Players Association, they're going to deal with it. Logan Thompson is gone.
Yeah.
He's not taking the move lightly. Might be a little annoyed by it. Was quoted yesterday around the Capitals. This is a little out of context. I don't even know what the beginning of it means. But he says, I guess Vegas takes all credit for goaltending over there, right? He goes, I'm curious to see how different it'll be and if I can even play in the league. LT, relax. You weren't that happy at times with the organization.
No.
I'm sure you annoyed the hell out of them. They're not going to tolerate that. And it is now set up. I mean, he's in a good organization. He can emerge as a guy. He should embrace this.
He should.
And they really care about hockey in D.C., and that's a franchise with a tradition recently. It's a good situation. But I guess he harbors some resentment for what – I don't know what he thought at the end. Was he surprised by it?
He says he was.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that was – it was always kind of the thing with Logan Thompson. I mean, everything – it was always him against the world. It was always, somebody out to get him. And I understand. Like, I understand why he felt the way that he did because I talked to him a lot about it. When he'd be in the locker room, he'd be – discussing things. And he was always pretty open, both on and off the record, about things that were going on. I know he talks to other reporters even more than he would talk to me. But I understand where it comes from, but I'd also think he was off base. I think he's misconstruing it because the real issue with the Golden Knights is blank your feelings. And for better or worse, I think for the most part it's for better. But that's always been their thoughts, and he's, that's not really his mentality.
No, he needs I don't like – the word coddled is probably a little strong, but maybe he needs to be managed a little bit differently, and they just don't.
I think he wants – he. It's going to – I don't think this is, the most fair thing. He wants to be treated like a human, and they're like, you're not humans. You're players.
That's a line. He wants to be treated like a human.